Let me invite you tonight over to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 11.
2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 11 reads this way. It says, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and Lord, calling upon you and asking you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Guide us, Lord, that we might hear from you, and Lord, that you might strengthen the faith that you've given to us, that we might be the witnesses you've called us to be of your great grace that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray if there's one or maybe one more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, that you would help them to see their need and draw them to you, Lord. And we'll thank you again for that. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message tonight is "The Work of Faith with Power." The work of faith with power. A lot of times I think there's this unfamiliar or unseeable handle on faith that we can't quite grasp. And really, if we'll just interchange the word trust with the word faith, that simplifies it. Faith is simply trusting what God has said. It's all it is. It's not anything. It is intended for the believer to understand and to grow in their faith, right? Well, what does that mean? Well, I'm growing as I walk in this world. I'm growing more to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trusting more of Christ and less of the world. I'm trusting more of God and less of myself and what I can do. In fact, as I live through life, I realize I have control of absolutely nothing. Amen? I mean, I can get up in the morning and I can go through the day, but I have no clue what is coming into my life. And so I can trust the Lord that he knows, and I can trust the Lord that he said he would not allow me to be tempted or tried beyond what I could withstand, and that he would never leave me nor forsake me. And I am here tonight because of God's great faithfulness. By the way, if you're a child of God, you're here tonight. Amen? Because of God's great faithfulness. Many times we can look back where the devil, the flesh, or the world could have done us in, and yet we're still standing by and because of the grace of God and God's great faithfulness to his people. So tonight I just want to take a few moments to consider a couple of thoughts, three thoughts very quickly. The definition of a growing faith. We want to understand, God wants us to understand what the definition of a growing faith is really all about. Then we'll take a few moments and look at the day of glorification. What a day that's going to be. The day of glorification. And then counted worthy of God's calling will be the last thought. Counted worthy of God's calling. So back up with me to verse 3. And let's consider what God says, not what I think, not what the world says. You know, the world will tell you what Christianity ought to be. And what the world tells you Christianity ought to be is not what Christianity is. The world would like for you to believe that it's okay to live in sin. It's what the world would tell you. Christianity would, they would like Christianity to say, it's okay, you know, do your religious thing and leave that in church and go on with the rest of your life. Oh no, listen, the Bible says that we've been bought with a price, amen? And that we have, listen, Jesus Christ paid for our redemption, and by the way, we have a Savior who revealed himself, his love to us, that ought to compel the believer to seek the Lord in a greater way. And there's some things that we need to learn. Remember, Paul said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content." Paul said, "I have learned." That means he didn't just happen automatic. It's a process, right? It's a learning process. You don't start off school going to elementary school in the sixth grade. You should start off in kindergarten, right? And then first grade and so forth. And you build upon that. In the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the same way, all right? So let's consider what the definition of a growing faith is. Look at verse 3 with me. It says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly. Did you see that? It's growing. It's in a process of growing. And he says, you know what? We consider it to be a help to us. It's an encouragement. This is the Apostle Paul. It's an encouragement to him. You encourage other believers. You give them what's needed when you are standing strong in the Lord. Now, it's not really us, but it is us. Remember that when you look at that word, when anytime you come to the word spirit in the New Testament, and you take notice that it is referring to the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it'll be capital S, so you have no doubt about it, and then sometimes it'll refer to the Holy Spirit and it'll be lowercase s. And you say, well, wait a minute, God should have capital S. Well, he does. But see, that lowercase s is the Spirit of God in you and me. That when you see that lowercase, that is the work of God that he's wanting to do. Remember, our spirit was dead in trespasses and sins. When we got saved, God quickened our spirit. Now, you had your soul and you had your intellect, but concerning the things of God, spiritually speaking, we were dead to them. So God quickened our spirit that we might be in communion with his spirit, and that our spirit being led by his spirit would tell our thinking and our body the direction that we ought to walk in. So tonight, listen, it's important that you realize that we need the Holy Spirit of God to guide us, to guide our spirit into all truth. So let's consider this right here as we consider this definition of a growing faith. What I want you to see is, first of all, there's an abounding love toward each other. Look at verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. That means it's a help, M-E-E-T. It's a help. Because that your faith groweth exceedingly, listen to this, and the charity of every one of you toward each other aboundeth. That word charity, you can interchange that with the word love. Okay? So you have an abounding love toward each other. Well, how can you tell me when you love somebody? How can you tell me that you love somebody? How do you know? Well, Gracie's getting ready to get married. So she doesn't mind. Maybe she does, but she doesn't mind if we use her for an illustration tonight. So they're going to be married, and they're both looking forward to that day, and so they get married, and they're both are working, and Gracie's going to be preparing a dinner, and Joe says, "I'm going to the neighbors for dinner tonight." And then, is that showing his love? And meanwhile, she prepared a meal for both of them. In fact, I hope it's not their first meal, but it might even be their first meal. Oh, wait a minute, my friend invited me to his house tonight. Would that be expressing love to Gracie? No, that would be very inconsiderate. And I don't think Joe would ever do that. But that would be very inconsiderate, wouldn't it? If we show love one toward another, we are usually there for people, aren't we? Right? If we show love, we surrender ourselves and we think of the other person more than we do ourselves. So if we show that we love one another, I dare say possibly we should be together in worship because it's the body of God, right? So listen, in other words, you know, I can have other things come up in my day that I would rather do, but my commitment to Christ and my love for the people of God, to fellowship with them, and Brother Rogers mentioned that, I think, maybe in a devotional too. Listen, God has placed us together to encourage one another in the things of the Lord. But here's what I want you to consider. When we are yielded to the Spirit of God, remember the Holy Spirit with our spirit, I'm telling you, listen, you won't even know it, but you could shake somebody's hand and the Holy Spirit that's in your life will encourage that other believer. They will sense a genuine concern and compassion for the individual. But listen, I'm going to go fishing today. Well, that doesn't show a whole lot of love, does it? Right? That's like going next door to the neighbor when your wife has made you a meal. And so we want to be committed to being faithful, to be with each other, to grow together. By the way, God's put us as a body. Aren't you glad your leg doesn't just decide to walk off in a different direction one day, right? You're going this way and one leg says, I'm going this way. Well, sometimes that happens, but we call that an accident, or we call that a slip, right? We've slipped and my leg went the other way. That's not the common course in everyday life. Well, likewise also for the believer, it's important that we abound in love toward one another, that we support one another. I want you to know, I hope it encourages you. I believe it does. I want you to know it encourages me when I see God's people in God's house. I think that's important. You know what really encourages me? When there's a big event going on in the world that God's people are still in God's house. You know what troubles me today? Can I share with you what troubles me today? That there are these so-called quote-unquote Christian groups getting together and having conventions on a Sunday, on the Lord's Day. And they're calling God's people out of local churches to come to an event. I don't care who they are, they're making little about the church of God. And I want you to know, Jesus Christ died and shed his blood, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, and gave his blood for the church, not for the convention, not for the organization, not for the group that's having some get-together somewhere and charging people $60-$70 to come. Amen. And forsake the house of God and the body of God that God has placed the individual believer in. And please, I'm sorry, but listen, believers ought to be mature enough to know, hey, listen, my allegiance is to my Savior. Amen. And he said that he would receive honor and glory world without end. Guess through what? Not the convention, not the get-together, not the retreat, but the church, Amen. His church. That's what he says. And so Paul is saying, man, I'm excited that you are abounding in love one toward another, fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ in this local New Testament church here of Thessalonica. Then notice this. Look at verse 4. So that we ourselves, Paul, we ourselves glory in you in the conventions, right? We glory in you when you go to the attractions, the Christian attraction, the Christian concert on a Sunday. Do you remember years ago? You remember years ago, preachers would preach, well, why in the world are they playing football games on Sunday? Well, forget that now. Christians are having things on Sundays, and they think nothing of it. We'll get a bigger crowd. Why? Because these Christians have gotten so lazy that this is what they're thinking. Well, they're planning on going somewhere, so maybe we can convince them that they can worship God with us. We're just going to be here for one day, and we're going to charge them X amount of dollars to come, and we'll tell them jokes, and we'll perform for them. Where's Jesus in all of that? Where's Jesus in all of that? And so, listen, it's important. I think you'll find right here to be committed to the body of the church that God has placed you in. It's important. So, he says this. He says, I'm impressed that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love that you have one toward another, right? That it's abounding love. So verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in the churches of God for your patience and faith, your trust in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Now listen, this is understanding what a growing faith is all about. Remember, Paul said this is a growing faith. Well, listen. Is this true? God works out all things for the good of the believer, for our good. Is that true? Now let me ask you another question. You don't have to answer this one, just in your mind. Do you always feel that way? You always feel that way. If you do always feel that way, you never get angry. Isn't it true? If you always, now I will tell you, I get angry. Just in case you wondered. I get angry, but it's not right. It's not right. It isn't right. So this came up with my, I just got angry yesterday. I did. Short. I didn't blow my stack. I was maybe a little frantic. So Thursday, I'm getting, this dripping in the bathtub. Drip, drip. I'm going, oh, great. Drip, drip, drip. I didn't know. I said, well, I'll just wait. It's just a drip, right? Well, Friday night, it's a stream. It's a stream. And so I go, well, let me turn the water off. And then I get this whole news with my dad, and I'm thinking, I gotta go see him. And so then I turn the water back on. This was Saturday. It's a gully washer. It's just like you got it on full blast. And I'm thinking, now how are they going to work with no water? So I think, well, I'll go run down and get, I know what it is. I looked it up online. I YouTubed it. and then it's this cartridge. This is 3-inch long cartridge. It goes in this metal sleeve after you pull the handle off. And so anyway, Josiah was right there beside me the whole time. And so anyway, I go there. I get the part. It looks exactly like the same part, but it won't go in. It won't go in. And then finally, I think we got it all the way in there. I couldn't get the keeper pin. Well, how important is that keeper pin? So I looked up with keeper pin. The water pressure will blow that thing right out of there if you don't put that keeper pin in there. So I figured it was needed. And I thought, well, I looked at it. It's a little bit longer than the other one, just a hair longer. So I go back to the Home Depot, return the whole deal, you know, and go back because I didn't have it with me the first time. Now, this time I got the real piece here. And there's a little place, little board that you can plug it into, and then it'll tell you the number. Well, I got the right one. So I thought maybe I ought to go to Lowe's and see if they got, maybe something's wrong with their parts. Well, anyway, I didn't do that. We bought it. We started at 9 in the morning Saturday. I called a plumber, by the way. And I still haven't heard from him. But it's Saturday. I'm not blaming the plumber. I get back there, and we're working on it, and it's not working out for me. All right? I want you to know, I was really worried about, how am I going to go, and they don't have water? Listen, this thought did pass through my mind. God's in control of all of this, and he is working this out. I was anxious. I will tell you, I was anxious. And then I just thought, well, I forgot. I think my wife said something like, try it again or something. I don't know. Why would you try something again that didn't work the first time? So I go to push it in there, and it's got two little rubber gaskets on the side, and it's pushing, the little tube is pushing that gasket. You have to have that in there. It's not going to work. So I feel this cold air coming out of that hole where the pipe is sticking out. I had to take off the cover. I don't know why this thought. I said, Josiah, hand me the blow dryer. Because when things are cold, they contract. I'm telling you, 30 seconds maybe, I was telling him, Josiah, tell me when a minute's up. It was about 30 seconds, and I felt it, and I just stopped. And I put the blow dryer down, I took that piece, whoop, right in there. I was like, Josiah, did you see that? Right in there. And then you know what? That keeper pin went in just like it's supposed to do, 10 minutes maybe. And all of a sudden, man, Man, I had to play with that thing for a little while, you know? Look, it's working the right way, and it shuts off like it's supposed to. But sometimes we don't always feel like all things work together for our good. But listen, but they do. And we have to go, we have to ask God to carry us beyond our feelings into trusting him in everything. Lord, listen, I really believe God, you tell me what you think. God was testing me. He allowed that for his glory and for my good to say, look, see, how many times do I have to show you I'm going to provide for you? I was all worried about nothing that God was taking care of. I need to enter the next trial in knowing that I don't understand how you're going to do it, Lord. You did it with a blow dryer that time. I don't know what you'll do next time, but you're going to carry me through, right? Listen, God is going to be there and is there for us the whole time. Amen. We just don't recognize it. And we just need to take him at his word and trust him. And that's what these people were doing. Listen, they experienced trials, but they said, you know what? God's in control. I'm going to trust the Lord. And Paul said, man, you guys are encouraging us. By what we're seeing in you, they were seeing the Lord, the love of God in them toward one another, toward Paul. And even in the midst of their difficulties and trials, their faithfulness to not get washed out. People get mad Have you ever heard of people getting mad at the preacher? They can get mad at the preacher. But why? Why? I mean, unless he's just a scoundrel or something, but if he's preaching the truth and he's trying to point his people towards the Lord, you know, how about another church member? People get mad at other church members. Well, we're none perfect. You know? We know that. And God says that, listen, I expect you to love your enemies. How about your Christian brother or sister? Love them. Right. They're not your enemy. They may act like it sometimes, right? But that's that. And the problem is if they're doing that is because they're not being led by the Spirit. But how will they ever be led by the Spirit if they don't see the example in our lives of what it's like to be led by the Spirit of God? And so Paul says, you know what? I'm seeing all this in you guys. You're glorifying the Lord. And so much so, look at verse 4 again, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Then look at verse 5 here, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. Do you know that the Bible says that everybody who lives godly is going to suffer persecution? Why is that? Because the world hates the Lord. In all Christian love, you stand up for the Lord. I don't mean that you go around blasting people out of the water, right? You just stand up for what the right thing is. If people ask you, give them a testimony of the faith that's in you, of what you're trusting in. Listen, the world is saying that all these sins are all right in their eyes, but they're not all right in God's eyes. And I will stand up by the grace of God. Listen again, I will stand up, not in my power. I will fear that in my flesh. Listen, my flesh does not like to be persecuted. How about yours? Does your flesh enjoy persecution? Does your flesh enjoy, being on the unpopular side? No. But by the grace of God, He died for me. I need to stand up by the grace of God. I'm saying that again, not in my strength. This is right and this is wrong. What the world says is right is wrong in the eyes of God. And that whole world is going to give an account before the Lord. And the reason for it is because it's led by the devil himself, the deceiver, the murderer from the very beginning, and all he's looking to do. The world doesn't know it. They're blinded. They're blind. They're following this Pied Piper off a cliff into judgment and eternal death. They're following him. And they don't even know that, they all sing about, partying in hell. No, there's no such thing. That's a fiction they bought into. And they're going to regret every moment in eternity. Wow, for eternity. You and I have been given the privilege. We've been redeemed from that to live according to the grace of God by His power to let people see a better way. And let them see the love of God. Can we not tell them in all Christ-like love, you're killing yourself? In all Christ-like love, you're going to stand condemned before the Lord one day? In all Christian love, that's the path to death. And you can only go, there's only one way to eternal life, and that's through the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, he says, in verse 6, we look at now the day of glorification. He says, well, you see what a definition is of growing faith, that we've got to be submissive to the Lord in that. And then we see a day of glorification. Look at verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. God says, I'm seeing everything that's going on, and don't you worry. Don't wish for this, but I want you to know, Paul is saying, it's a righteous thing for God, not for us. But for God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. Was Paul fighting for and contending for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to see people saved? And yet he's also dealing with the people who are rejecting the Lord that will one day give an account, and he's telling us what's going to happen. At verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. He says, listen, this is the day of glorification. That's going to happen. It's coming. We're going to see it. We're going to see it. On this side of eternity, God is not willing that any should perish. At the day of glorification, it's done. Now it's judgment time. And they will see the pure righteousness of God. They will see it, and it will be, and they will see that they have it coming to them, and that's unfortunate. On this side, there's hope for them, and they will never see that hope unless we are walking in the grace of God. God is wanting to shine. Didn't he say, guess where God might want to shine his light into the world? Guess what the vehicle is that God wants to use to shine his light into the world? He said, I'm the light of the world. Didn't he say that? And then he also said, who else is the light of the world? You are the light of the world. But if you hide your light, how do you hide your light? Well, you get mad at everything that comes into your life because you have no clue that God is using that for His good. Now let me ask you a question. You answer this to yourself. Do you ever remember fretting about something, getting mad about something because you think something was going to work out and it works out and you feel about less than an inch tall because you're thinking, man, God had this the whole time and look what I did. I worried about it, got upset about it. You ever do that? All right, don't confess to this. All right, ready? Have you ever done it more than once? More than once? More than twice? 3 times? 4? How many times? Lord, help me, please. Yesterday be the last time, amen, that I just say, God, I know I'm in your hands. And regardless of however it works out, it's all right. I don't need to fret about anything because I'm in the Lord's hands. And so that is something that we learn. Paul had to learn it. And by the way, he said, I'm running the race. I'm not running like I've attained because I'm still working on it, and God's still working on me, and I'm running the race to attain the crown that God has for me. And then when he got to the end of life, he said, hey, listen, henceforth there's a crown laid up for me, but not just for me only, but for all them that love the Lord, right, and his appearing. All right, so he says, the day of glorification is coming. Look at verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. They're going to be punished. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to be judged. And the world says, that's not fair. You have no say in it. You'll have no say in it. It doesn't. How about you take a moment and consider what God is saying and what he thinks instead of what your little mind is thinking, instead of what sin that is driving you to death. They're so addicted that they can't even see. They are so led by something that they can't even stop and say, well, let me just consider and reason with God, hear his side. They don't even want to hear the other side anymore. That you see these people that if they're confronted about their ideology, how many people get up now and just leave? It's like I remember being about 4 or 5 years old, and little Johnny got upset and we were playing with the ball. I'm taking my ball, going home. Today, everybody, you know, you hurt my feelings. How about God? How about what he thinks? He created everything. I know they may not believe that, but it doesn't change the truth. Forget about this garbage. Oh, well, I have my truth and you have your truth. Pooey on that. There's one. There's one truth. You can't have your truth and my truth. That's no truth at all. There's one way that's right and one way that's wrong. You can't change the rules in the middle of the game. Nobody wants to play that nonsense. You ever play with somebody makes up a game? Well, no, let's change the rule because it suits them. Well, forget that game, right? And by the way, God's not playing games. Amen. And I hate to say this to the world, not really. To the world system, I don't hate to say it. But I am not trying to be abrasive to people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. But to the world system that's under Satan, I really don't care. I don't. In this regard, the world is heading people, deceiving people to their death.
That's right.
Now, I would not ever, never intentionally try to be offensive to somebody. That's not love. That's not the love of God either. But there's coming a day where there's going to be a reckoning. All the accounts are going to come due. Do you know there are going to be people on earth that are going to be in their 20s, in their 30s, thinking they got their whole life? Oh, no. Oh, no. It's going to end. And then only the things that will be done for Christ will have any merit at all. By his grace, by the way, not the things that are done for Christ in self-righteousness, only the things that are done by the grace of God in the life of the believer will be rewarded. Not because this makes me something. Like I said earlier this morning, I have no righteousness. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I have no standing before God. All my standing is in Jesus Christ, and may my standing on this side of eternity still be Jesus Christ in whatsoever state I'm in. I would like to learn that. Brother George, do you realize what you just said? You just opened up the doors of temptations. I don't serve a God like that. I don't serve a God that's waiting to get me. I serve a God who's wanting me to understand Him and love Him and to realize, listen, that He's really the pearl of great price and there's nothing else in this world. Only out of ignorance do people serve things that are perishing. Only out of ignorance. And by the way, listen, the world thinks it's pretty wise to live for those things. But I promise you, there's coming a day when all those, no matter what standing, that were living for the things that were perishing, will weep. They'll weep for material things that are passing away. Why? Now, God didn't say it was wrong to have those things. But that's not what life is about. And yet there are people that think, and by the way, listen, you've heard them, prosperity preachers? That's a lie. If God, tell that to the Apostle Paul, you got some explaining to do. Because Paul was not a wealthy man. And yet he served the Lord faithfully. Look at verse 9. Who shall be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. But you and I are invited into the glory of His power. When He shall come to be glorified, listen to this, in His saints, and to be admired of all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So I want you to see, this is a testimony among believers who believed. And he says, listen, I want you to know something. The world may have not understood it. The world may have rejected it. The world may have not accepted it. But Paul said, I am refreshed by you. I am encouraged. When you are yielded to the Holy Spirit, you can influence, not only can God influence your life and give you His peace and His joy, But you bring that Holy Spirit wherever you go amongst other believers. And I want you to know your spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, can encourage their spirit. And that's God's plan. When you enter into the presence of some of God's people, you just want to listen to them. You just want to listen to them. I remember one missionary came and share, I just wanted to hear everything he had to say. He just seemed to have his hand right on the Lord. Amen. Might I say, the Lord had His hand right on him. I don't. Either way, right? I mean, they were connected. And then another fellow, he came from Grenada. Remember Brother Michael Jeremiah? Michael Jeremiah from Grenada. And man, oh man, when he preached the Word of God, you were just like soaking it in. I was a brand new seminary student. He came over from Grenada. He wasn't married, young man. He's married now. He's got a couple kids. I don't know. I've lost touch with him. But anyway, we were talking about prayer. He said, brother, he's had a Grenadian accent. I don't know how to say it. Kind of like, not Jamaican, something around that area. You know, come pray or something. And they gave us dorms. Right. We paid for our dorms, but I meant they were brand new dorms and they furnished them. He rejected a lot of the furniture. He just simply had a table. He had his bed. He had a dresser there and a pot. He offered me some tea and we had a time of prayer. And man, oh man, listen, this man walked with the Lord. And I could have listened to him and what God was doing and how he sought the Lord. You want to know something crazy? God wants to do that in your life and mine. That we can touch others like that. Can you imagine a whole church? Do you know what was so special about Brother Michael Jeremiah? You know what was all special about him? Jesus. Do you know what can be special about you and I? Jesus. Not us. When God gets a hold of His people, very quickly, watch this. Look at verse 11, counted worthy of God's calling. Last two verses, ready? Wherefore also we pray always for you. So remember the day of glorification, what's going to happen? Now Paul went to the present time, went to the future, and now he's coming right back to what's going to happen in the future. Now he's coming right back to his people today, right? Now he's coming back to us today through the Holy Spirit. The Word is now coming back to our day and age. Ready? Because of all this, he says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Listen to this. And fulfill all the good pleasure. This is God's will. All the good pleasure of whose goodness? His goodness. And the work of faith with power. Whose power? God's power. That the name of Jesus Christ may be glorified in who? In you. I didn't make that up. God said that. God is saying, I can fill your life and use you and bless you just like I did Paul. The only difference is we're not called to be apostles, but God, I want you to know that God has given to us the same grace and wants us to enjoy it and seek it. Lord, more about Jesus. So again, verse 12, and we're done. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him. How does that work? And ye in him. God is glorified because he's in me. I can see that. But then me in him? Isn't that amazing? According to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the work. May I rephrase the title? I'm not going to change it. Because I took it from the scriptures. But this is God's work of faith with power. God's work of faith in you and me with power. So tonight, God gives us an invitation into that. A reminder that say, hey, listen, I know you can get distracted. I know you can have a water leak and get sidelined. But I want you to look at what really matters in life. I know you can have this going on and that going on, and it's not that God doesn't want to be. It's not that God doesn't want us to be responsible about those things, but what He really wants is for you and I to walk with Him. And so God says, "Call on me. Come, call, and see if He doesn't answer, and show us things that we haven't seen even as of yet." Would you stand? Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the understanding that you bring to our hearts and minds. Lord, I pray that you would bless us, Lord, as your people, to walk with you and to experience your great grace. May we not be fooled by the temporal things that are passing away, Lord. May we truly find our peace, our rest, our joy in you. Bless the invitation, Lord. Draw us closer to you. Build the faith that you've given to us. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.